All right, so Acts 2. I'm not going to get real deep into Acts 2 because I'm going to kind of make it a two-part deal. Today is going to be a little bit different. You guys know this. I like to go through the scripture and just kind of teach through. But I felt like it was worth our while since, you know, the book of Acts is about it's the introduction of the Holy Spirit coming to indwell in people. And I felt like it was worthwhile to start over just a little bit on some basics, just refresh our mind, what the Holy Spirit is, who He is, what He does, just to get our thinking right before we really dive into the rest of the book of Acts. I want us to all kind of have the same starting point, because Acts 2 is amazing, and the Holy Spirit just comes, and He fills people, and amazing things start to happen all the way through the rest of the book. And like I said, I just want us on the same page, so just we'll read the beginning of Acts 2. Just to kind of get an idea, but it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you know what, let's just stop there, because in the rest of my lesson, I'm going to bounce around a lot, and it's going to be hard to keep up, but hopefully you can get the main idea here. But remember, I said a little bit of this last week. Pentecost, this is what the day this happens, is Pentecost. Penta is like five, Pentagon, okay? Pentecost, what Pentecost really means is like 50th. And so this is 50 days about after Jesus dies and he raises again. About 50 days later, and that goes back to Old Testament. I said this last week. It ties in. The Pentecost deal goes into a feast that they had for thousands of years before that, and it's called the Feast of Weeks, but really what it was is a celebration about the harvest, okay? It was a harvest celebration. I want you to keep that in mind, that Pentecost, even back to the Old Testament, was about harvest. It's about bringing in crops. It's about, you know, bringing, you know, and they celebrate it. You celebrate everything that you've gained. You know, you planted the seed, and you're waiting, and you watch it grow, and then there's this, it's here, you know, there's a celebration that you would have as someone who watched this whole process happen. So that's what Pentecost is all about, and in the Old Testament, and it leads up, and it's going to be the day that the Holy Spirit's poured out on people. That's really important to keep in mind. God did that for a reason. He tied those days together for a reason. Pentecost harvest. So here's some basic teaching about the Holy Spirit. I wrote that the Holy Spirit is God. I know that all these things are going to be things we probably all know, but it's things that are so easy to forget. You can know them in your mind, but you're not really believing it, you know, actively. We all know the Holy Spirit's God, but we tend to forget that. Realize what an amazing thing it is that the Holy Spirit's in us. We have to start with, remember, the Holy Spirit's God. We know that because of Acts 5, Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? You have not lied to man, but to God. And so Peter's saying, you lied to the Holy Spirit, which is the same thing as lying to God. The Holy Spirit is God, okay? So important to know that's who is poured out. God poured out Himself to live in us. The Holy Spirit's also distinct from the Father. We know that because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, which is an amazing thing. But what the Holy Spirit does that somewhere along the way is if Tony's in trouble, you know, if he needs help and he needs prayer, obviously people pray, and also the Holy Spirit prays, and Jesus prays. All three of those are in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit actually goes to the Father and intercedes for Tony, okay? So the Holy Spirit, even though He is God, God being three in one, somehow the Holy Spirit still goes to the Father and intercedes for people. So there is a little bit of a distinction, even though they're both still one God. That's kind of weird, I know. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page on this thing that, you know, you don't get the Holy Spirit later. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. That's also Romans 8, where it says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. That's the deal there. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and go. I think I might have mentioned this last week. I was at a church at one time in my life, which was a great church. I don't like dogging churches, but one of the things they taught was that you can just offend the Holy Spirit so easily and he'll flee from you. And it's just, you do the slightest little thing and the Holy Spirit's gone. And he doesn't. He doesn't come and go, because the reason we have him is because of grace anyway. We have him because of what Jesus did for us, and it's not because of what I've done and what I've done to earn him. The Holy Spirit's here because of Jesus. He's with me because of Jesus. Psalm 139 says, "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence?" What he's implying is, look, I can't go anywhere and get away from your Spirit. He's with me. You know, he's with you. You're saved. He's in you. He's with you. He's not coming and going based on how good or bad you're doing this life thing, okay? The Holy Spirit's with you. Pretty basic stuff, right? Just reminders, because there's so many lies about it. One more thing I wrote. Not only is he not coming and going, he's not coming and going in the service. He's not coming and going in our house. You know, he's always there. It's not like he leaves us. Once he's in us, once we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in us. He's with us forever. That's John 14. Jesus says, "I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," which is the Holy Spirit, "to be with you forever." That's John 14:16. Okay? To be with you forever. So if anyone in here ever has that lie in your head where you did something wrong and you're feeling that guilt and you think the Holy Spirit's just left you, you're not feeling anointed, you're not feeling God's presence, just go to John 14:16 and just look at this little promise. "I'll give you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you forever." Okay? That's how you do warfare. And that's how we stay grounded when we have all kinds of things trying to get us off track. Just simple little promises that Jesus left us. Okay, and now what we're getting into in the book of Acts, I got a lot more verses. I know this is hard to follow when I skip around. I get that. But this is just, it's too hard to explain otherwise. But so we have the Holy Spirit. He is God. God lives in us. He doesn't leave. He's always here. He's always in us. He's not coming and going. We know all this stuff. And sometimes he fills us. So even though I already have the Holy Spirit, okay, have him, and like fully have him, there's this other thing, this other dimension called filled with the Spirit. And it's not a one-time deal, okay? It's not one time I'm filled with the Spirit. It's from, you see it multiple times. And I have multiple times written down to prove it to you, but people filled with the Spirit. So Tony could be going along, and there comes a time where he's in a certain need, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, months later, another time, filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills you. And I don't really know how to describe what that is or how that happens or everything that happens in this invisible realm. But the Holy Spirit will fill you. And it's always followed by some kind of, I'll just read the examples. I pulled out, I think, 7 examples. There's many more. They're all out of the book of Acts. What we just read here in Acts 2 is the people are filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. And they became witnesses to a large group of people, okay? So filled with the Spirit, then they speak in tongues, something crazy happens, they become witnesses. Acts 4, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. It gives him a certain kind of boldness that's more than, you know, Peter, I did a whole lesson on Peter a couple weeks ago about how weak he was. Peter in Acts 4 is filled with the Holy Spirit. He preaches with boldness, and tons and tons of people are getting saved. And what they say is the people are listening to him speak, and they're like, this guy's filled with the Holy Spirit. And they say, they're amazed at his wisdom because he's a common, uneducated man. That's what they say about Peter. He's just a basic guy. He's uneducated, but I can't believe the wisdom coming out of his mouth. That's from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Another place in Acts 4:31, it says that the group prayed, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 6, they picked out men to do daily, just a simple little thing, handing out daily things of food. They picked men who were filled with the Holy Spirit, even to do that. It's not just crazy miracles, it's basic things we need the Holy Spirit for. Acts 7, Stephen, remember he's stoned because he's a Christian. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's able to glorify God with endurance while he's being stoned to death. I mean, he dies at his at his death, the people that are killing him, the filling of the Holy Spirit gives him an endurance to look and see Jesus in the midst of that and to glorify him for what he's doing. Acts 9, Saul, who's going to become Paul, is filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, that's where he regains his sight. And it says immediately he goes and preaches Jesus in the synagogues. One more, Acts 13, Saul's filled with the Holy Spirit again. And this is kind of weird. He rebukes a magician, okay? And the magician actually goes blind. That comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. He stands up to someone of the devil, and the guy becomes blind for a short time because of Paul being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how many times you see this in the Bible. Filled with the Holy Spirit, this happens. So what I did then is, you know, we all in the body, in church, in teaching, we all want to figure out, okay, what's the formula? We like there's some kind of formula. That how do I get there? I see that I need the Holy Spirit. I see these guys had it. I see I need to be filled. But so it's like, how do we get there, you know? And it's not anything clear. What I did is I looked at every single one of these examples. And I'm looking for comparisons. I'm looking for similarities. Did they all do the same thing to start out? Did they all, what happened after? And for example, like I want to know, did they pray every time before they were filled with the Holy Spirit? The answer is no, you know? Because I want to think, how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I pray, you know? Pray, and he's going to fill me with the Holy Spirit. But I can't really teach that because I think that does happen. I can't say that's every time how it happens. Because that's not what happened every time they were filled. A lot of people like to say that every time you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues or you prophesy. And really, I look at it, okay, did that happen every time? No, it didn't. And so I can't say that happens every time. And I'm just going off what I see in the Bible. So all these stories are just so unique and so different, and they all have almost nothing in common as far as who they're ministering to, how they got there, who they're with, what they're talking about, what they're doing, what happened after, all these things. It's different almost every single time. And so I just have to submit to you then, based on Scripture, that there's no set formula to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no guarantee of what it's going to look like after. What I do see is two things, okay? One thing I see is that being filled with the Spirit, I wrote, is an act of grace. I talk about this so much, I know. Being filled with the Spirit is an act of grace in God's sovereign timing. Meaning, I just can't narrow it down to anything that I can do to get filled with the Holy Spirit specifically. It's really up to God's grace. But the second thing, I do see one thing in common. All these examples, I see one thing, and that's all these guys were on mission. That's the similarity. They, every one of these circumstances, these guys were ready to go. They are putting themselves in position where they needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went. And after every one of these stories, there's some kind of mission that happens, every one of them. There's never a time where they're filled with the Holy Spirit and then they just go sit in the room, you know? Or they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they just you know, go off on their... I mean, it leads to mission. Being filled with the Holy Spirit leads to mission. And that's Acts 1, which I read last week, but remember, Acts 1 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth." Yeah, so what's that? That's implying that you're going to receive power. The point of receiving power is to be my witness. See, I have this concern. I might get done early. I shouldn't say that. But I have this concern, and I've always had this concern, when we have groups of people that are looking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's just almost for an entertainment or a high or for something that's just for me, you know, just to get some kind of enjoyment or excitement, it's being filled with the Holy Spirit is for more than that. It's for more than sitting in a room and just being entertained with crazy things happening. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is for a purpose, and it's to make Jesus known. And I have this concern every time I see this where people like, you know, come to this deal where, you know, or flock to this meeting states away because God's pouring out His Spirit, where you'll just, you know, you guys know what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit's got to be for more than that. I know that the Holy Spirit does other things. He shows us Jesus, and He does great things in our heart, and He can do great things. But the point is it leads to mission. That's the point of being filled. And so I just can't imagine that situation where being filled in a, I'll just stop there. But just being filled with the Holy Spirit in a meeting week after week after week, and it never leads to anything else. That seems like it's not what the point was here, especially in the book of Acts. These guys, I mean, they had crazy things happening, and I'm one who would say that all these crazy things can still happen today. And but the point is that it isn't just to get those crazy things happening. It seems like we've made that an end, and maybe some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's just it seems like miracles and signs and wonders have kind of become the end in themselves. Like, we get to the point where we're getting miracles and signs and wonders and crazy things happening, then we're just completely satisfied, you know. And it's not just that. These guys were seeing these kind of crazy things because they were putting themselves in great situations. I mean, you see great miracles when you have great need for miracles. That's when you see them, okay? You get that? You see great healings when you put yourself out there and you have nothing else you can do, and you've put God on the line almost in faith, and you need it, you know? There's got to be a need. There's got to be a need more than just, I need to entertain, I'm bored with life, is what I'm trying to say. There's got to be, I've stepped out in faith to honor Your name and to glorify You. Holy Spirit, come fill us. God, answer my prayer and do this miracle because I need it. That's what the Holy Spirit filling us is about, okay? Don't ever forget that the book of Acts, people are putting their life on the line. You know, these great men who were simple, common, uneducated men are putting their life on the line daily and stepping out in faith to kings and rulers and people who kill them and stone them. And they're stepping out there and saying, I need You. And those are the kind of guys who see miracles, okay? Not the guys who just sit in a room and just want to see something cool happen, okay? That's the key. And so I'm sitting here with this lesson this doesn't seem even, you know, these guys, they just did it. They just stepped out in faith. And what else can I say other than that? They stepped out in faith and saw great things and they have 10 steps to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, they just stepped out in faith. And so if I'm going to preach this lesson, my lesson is, how do we fill with the Holy Spirit? Hopefully you get that there's a need. I don't know how I can talk about the need in 30 minutes. But how do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? I got two things. I got be on mission. Be on mission. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like, I pray for every day, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Every single day, fill me with the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Be on mission. You know, be in a place where you need it. I mean, put yourselves out there where, yeah, you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit staying at home in a safe place. And secondly, just trusting in His way, trusting in the Holy Spirit to show up. I mean, like, just being honest, sometimes I come here, and I really mean this. I mean, minutes before teaching, I feel about as anointed as a rock. You know, you just don't feel anything. And I know Jonathan's the same way. I know he'll agree with me. He can get up, and he's got to lead you guys into worshiping Jesus every week. And his week could go terrible, and a Saturday night could go terrible, and a Sunday morning could go terrible, and he's still expected to come in and lead you guys into worshiping God. And how could a man week after week after week do that without being filled with the Holy Spirit? So I'm saying trust in His way. What I mean by that is is Jonathan still puts himself on mission by getting up there, and he expects by faith the Holy Spirit to show up, where he's like, God, I can't lead these people in worship. I don't know what each person needs. There's too many people here. I got to play music and worship you and lead a group of people to worship. I need filled with the Holy Spirit, just like the band members, just like you. We all need filled with the Holy Spirit. We need it so much. I come up here week after week. Sometimes I feel no anointing, but every time I have faith that God, I don't know. I just told Ryan, wherever he's at, it's like, I feel so unclear on this lesson. I know what I want to say. I don't feel clarity. And it's like, I just need filled with the Holy Spirit. And I expect the Holy Spirit to show up in just enough of a way, where he can use what little bit I have and make it worth something to you. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no, you get to this point where you stop relying on, let me use this example. When I was young in the Lord, and I was probably 18, 19, I was doing ministry with a guy, and this guy, not mocking, but this guy, he's like, Levi, I hear this program that's come out of Oklahoma or somewhere from this church, and 100% of the time, if you use this program, everyone gets saved, 100% of the people, and it's like, we've got to raise the money to send to these people to get this program, and it's like, it's like, come on, it's because that's not what it is. You don't find some formula that gets people saved or saves lives or turns hearts around. And what you do is you go on mission, get filled with the Holy Spirit, get them filled with the Holy Spirit as you overflow into people, and people and miracles happen. Miracles happen in the heart, miracles happen outwardly, they're happening all the time, but it's happening in the people who are obedient, stepping out, and not the people who are relying on their own brilliance and method and ways and programs. And okay, so that's my lesson. Need the Holy Spirit. That's my lesson. I could have just got up and said that, I think. Need the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word, and I thank you most of all for your Holy Spirit. I thank you that it's better that you died and went away so that you could pour your Spirit out on us. I pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit in this body and each person here. And ignite our hearts in that filling to worship and to glorify you and to be on mission and to be evangelists and teachers and pastors and to love and to love our wives and our husbands and our children and to do the millions and millions of things that we can't do apart from you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who helps us. In Jesus' name, amen.